or sell, no matter who you are. No one's exempt. And that no one may buy or sell except the one who has the mark of the beast. Now, I want you to imagine your lives right now. You can no longer buy or sell. No buying, no selling at all. I hope you have quite a garden. I hope you have a decent amount of perhaps some live animals. No, I mean, the way we work, we buy, we sell. Other people have skills that we use. And we ourselves have skills in which we're paid money. You see what he's doing? He's getting economic control over everyone. And my friends, this is why Karl Marx spoke so much about economics. Because it's through economics. If I can control you economically, guess what? I can control your downsittings and your uprisings. And so that's what he's doing here. He doesn't have enough. It's not enough to be worshipped. He has to control everything and everybody at all times. You know, I find it amazing. People find God's law intrusive, they say. What a terrible thing to say, that you can't steal, can't kill, can't commit adultery, can't covet. You got to worship only God. And you can't take his name irreverently. Oh, that's intrusive. Really? Well, I introduce you to you this particular beast. You haven't seen intrusive till you interact with this particular being. And again, my friends, all you have to do is read the books. Read Armando Valladares from Cuba, Against All Hope. Read Alexander Solzhenitsyn from the Soviet Union. Read the dissidents from China and North Korea. And you will find every time that there's state authorities that want worship and want to control everything about you. And the antidote, number five, what is the only thing that's stopping them from getting what they want? And my friends, that is you and I. That is those who proclaim the name of Christ. Why else do they work so hard to get rid of Christ? Why else do they work so hard to during Stalin, bulldozing churches in the Soviet Union? Consistently did these kinds of things. Why? Because it's stopping them from getting what they want. That's why they make war on us, my friends. Now, you may not be convinced yet. This is from Pastor Phil Kaiser. He says this. He says, now I can understand why tyrants would not want libraries, schools, or other institutions, which could potentially undermine their statism. But why would they stop people from feeding the poor, or giving money to the poor, or setting up benefit societies, giving medical aid, caring for the dying, or doing other mercy ministries? The answer is that people who do such things attract loyalty, and the demons behind the state are jealous of that and don't like that competition for their loyalty. And I would add, for their worship. Hundreds of stories, he goes on to say, could be given of people who were even martyred simply because they engaged in mercy ministries. I have to stop there for a minute. Do you understand this? Do you know this? Do you understand that when the state gets great power and authority, that they stop people from helping each other? Did you know that? And please don't chalk that up to, well, they misunderstand, well, they're well-meaning. No. Why in the world would you stop someone from helping his neighbor ever? Why in the world would you introduce a law that disallowed farmers from selling their produce by the side of the road, which was done in this state recently? Why? My friends, we need to get this through our heads here. There is demonic activity that wants to stop us from fulfilling the dominion mandate. It's not a simple matter of like, oh, we got a different opinion here. Listen to what he says. He says, let me tell you about Barlaam of Antioch. Barlaam of Antioch was a cobbler for the imperial forces who devoted all his free time to the care of orphans and widows in the church. When he was an infant, his parents had abandoned him to die of exposure outside the city or be eaten by animals. Christians picked up these babies routinely, even though it was illegal, and he was raised in a Christian home. Because he was rescued from infanticide, he had a special place in his heart for exposed children. He never was a church leader, but his good deeds for the poor and hurting became so well known that people were becoming Christians and declaring loyalty to Jesus. You would think that the state would praise him for his good works. Right? All about compassion. All about helping the poor. All about standing up for the little guy. But no. He was literally martyred for caring for orphans and widows without the state's permission. You might think that it is far, that is as far as we could ever get from America. But really it is not. Try to start a charity or a homeless shelter or a nursing home for the elderly or a hospital without a license and myriad regulations of the state. And if you persist, you will be jailed. Try to start a private bank. Can't be done. You gotta think about that, right? Why can't you start a private bank? Start a bank? Hey, you know what? Nobody has a gun to their head. They have to invest in my bank. You can if you want. Nah. Not without our permission. I know people who spent time in jail for starting an alternative currency. I've read about that myself. Alternative currency. Who cares, right? Okay, so I don't want to pay you in U.S. dollars. I'm going to pay you in gold or silver. Uh-uh. Off to jail with you. Try to arrange for adoption of a child without government permits. Sorry, you will be in big trouble. Try to start an orphanage. Don't even think about it. Try to start a seminary. I can give you the names of numerous attempted seminaries that were shut down because they did not get permission and follow all the government regulations for seminaries. When they asked what would happen if they didn't comply, they were threatened with fines and prison time. These and hundreds of other examples show that America's status to the core and resembles the beast of Revelation far more than it resembles that of what our founding fathers set up. And just in case you think that Pastor Phil Kaiser is out of line here, let me read to you briefly from Alvin Schmidt, How Christianity Changed the World. He says this, giving, for this is the early church here, giving all too often meant bringing food to Christians who were imprisoned during the persecutions, an act of charity that often had to be done in defiance of the law. Same problem here, right? Hey, there's somebody in jail. Want to give them some food? Eusebius, the early church historian, reports that Emperor Licinius had decreed that persecuted Christians in prison were not to receive help or humane treatment. And there's another thing about Christian charity here. The state can engage in charity, but it's always coercive. Finally, Christian charity was completely voluntary. According to the Roman culture of that era, such behavior defied common sense. It was seen as a sign of weakness and was viewed with suspicion. There was nothing to be gained by expending time and energy, even if voluntary, with people who could not contribute to the Roman valor and the strength of the state. The prevalence of Stoic philosophy also made it disrespectful to associate with the weak, the poor, and the downtrodden. He goes on to give many examples of how Christians exercise compassion towards each other in defiance of the state. Now please, I hope I never hear around here that, you know, the state had to get involved in charity and compassion because the church was doing such a bad job and they wanted to do a much better job, so they got involved. Please no. Please don't say that. You know, if you took away all the state charity institutions right now and left it to the church could not do any worse on their worst day than what the state is doing right now. Because the state has been effective in promoting illiteracy, poverty, lack of a work ethic. And they're really good at it. Meanwhile, we literally have Christians standing around saying, well, you know, the church didn't quite do the job. Now, if you really know what was going on, my friends, you will know that the church was doing the job when the state was out there burning down the villages and killing everybody. It's a tough message here this morning. It's not good. It's uncomfortable to think that there are demonic powers behind the state, our state officials that drive around in the nice cars and they look so good. Demonic powers? Let's go back to John Eidsmo. I want to read his last question that I didn't read before. And last but far from least, how does a nation deal with the ever-recurrent problem of human evil? By denying its existence? Through education? By giving the government and its police force absolute power? If so, don't those in power have the same evil tendencies as others? So how do we do this? My friends, if we don't speak up, if we don't promote the kingdom, the law, word of God, it's not going to be promoted by anyone else. And the state itself does not have within itself the ability to love its neighbor. That's why the beast makes war on the saints. The saints deny it its power. The saints deny him his worship. And they really do that through obeying Christ and loving their neighbor. Because the state says, you know what, if you're going to love your neighbor, I'll teach you how to love your neighbor. You're going to love your neighbor the way I tell you. You know how we're going to love our neighbor? You're going to give me all the money, and then I'll give it to the people who I think are deserving. You are not qualified to figure out who deserves charity. Only us. My friends, if we don't recognize the tendency to human evil that can be apparent in anyone, we'll never solve problems at all. There's no problem that we can solve without the law, word of God, being promoted by those who name his name. Thus we are in conflict, my friends, and we can't sugarcoat it. Shall we pray? We thank you, Lord, for your mercy this morning. Thank you for your goodness, your kindness in giving us that law word. And we recognize today that if we don't worship the true God, we'll worship false gods, and we'll worship them day and night. And before long, they'll be controlling our downsittings, our uprisings. Lord God, may we find freedom in worshiping your Son. And may we be obsessed with that worship. And may we love the liberty that comes with it. It's in the name of Christ we pray it. Amen.